Welcome, friends, to The Deep Dive. This is brought to you by the PwC Podcast. Today, we're jumping into something pretty foundational, actually. It's a text called What Happens When We Choose God? Our goal here, well, it's more than just summarizing. We really want to pull out the key insights, you know, the core ideas about what happens when we make that kind of profound spiritual choice. This is for anyone who's maybe curious or maybe already on that path and just looking for a deeper perspective. Let's get into it.
Yeah. And what's really striking about this material is how it acts almost like a, well, a spiritual blueprint. It's not just talking about a single decision in the past. It digs into the ongoing transformation, how it changes your identity, your life, day to day. So we'll be unpacking some key concepts, trying to give you a clear look at what this source says happens when someone really says yes to God.
Yeah. A spiritual blueprint. I like that framing. It suggests something active, ongoing, right? Yeah. Not just a one and done thing. And this source, it doesn't exactly ease you in. It starts with this really powerful statement about identity, drawing from 1 Peter 2.2. It says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Just think about that for a second. Going from not a people to the people of God, well, that's a huge shift.
It really is. And the text paints this vivid picture of the before state, you know, it talks about feeling disconnected, maybe wandering without a real purpose or direction, that sense of not quite belonging anywhere and needing mercy, kind of like being adrift, maybe. But then it contrasts that really sharply with what happens when someone chooses God, says yes to Jesus wholeheartedly. That choice is framed as the pivot point, the moment everything starts to change direction.
And the source gets specific about those changes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It says you're adopted, you find belonging, like really finding your place, you receive mercy, and you gain this clear sense of purpose. It's a whole package deal almost, a total reorientation.
Which leads right into a question the text itself asks, and it's pretty universal, I think. It prompts you, have you ever felt like you didn't belong, that you were just drifting? I mean, who hasn't felt that way at some point, right? That sort of aimlessness. And this material basically says that stepping into the identity God has for you is the answer to that feeling. It's presented as more than just feeling better. It's like a fundamental change in who you are, where you belong, like getting citizenship and a whole new reality.
Okay, so that sets up this new identity, this belonging. And then the source moves into another big concept, one that I think it's misunderstood a lot. Holiness. You know, often we think it means just following rules perfectly or being sort of untouchably good. But this source really challenges that idea, especially following on from that transformation we just discussed.
It does. It offers a pretty different take. It clarifies that holiness isn't primarily about rule following as the main goal. Instead, it says holiness is about reflecting God's character. Mm-hmm. And then it lists what that looks like. Things like living with love, patience, purity, humility, justice, and truth. So the focus shifts, you see. It moves from just outward actions to, well, the inner person, the core character, being reshaped, like becoming more like the original design.
And there's a really key shift in why you do these things, right? The motivation. The material says it's not because we have to, but because we want to become like the one who loves us.
Right.
It sounds like freedom, almost, not just duty.
Exactly. It's presented as freedom. The source uses this great little comparison. Think about a child who obeys just because they're scared of getting punished versus a child who obeys because they trust and love their parent. It's a totally different dynamic. And when it quotes 1 Peter, "Be holy because I am holy," the idea isn't some impossible standard to make you feel bad. It's framed as an invitation into a relationship where you want to reflect the character of the one you love and trust. It's about desire, not just obligation.
That really reframes it. Makes it feel less heavy, more like a natural consequence of connection. Speaking of connection, if this resonates with you and you're maybe thinking about what this looks like in a community, we really encourage you to check out PwC Pittsford Wesleyan Church. You can find more info online at pittsfordwesleyan.com, or hey, come join us for a service this Sunday. It's a great place to explore these ideas further. All right, so we've got this shift in identity and motivation. What about the everyday stuff? How does this choice actually play out? The material moves into that next, looking at the really comprehensive impact of choosing God. It makes you think, doesn't it? How could one decision really ripple through everything?
Well, the source breaks it down into four main areas. It's quite systematic. First, identity. Like we touched on, you're not just, you know, you anymore. You're God's child. That changes everything about how you see yourself and your place in the world. Second, peace. It describes moving from guilt and fear to knowing who holds your future. That brings a kind of inner stability, right? An anchor. Third is purpose. realizing you're not here by accident, that you have something specific for you to do that gives life meaning, direction. And fourth, relationships. The idea is that this choice leads you to treating people differently, seeing their value because you understand your own value in God's eyes. It changes how you interact with everyone.
It covers a lot of ground, and then it prompts you, the listener, to reflect personally. Think of one area in your life where you've seen growth since choosing to follow God. Maybe you're a bit more patient now, or more hopeful, or perhaps more honest, even when it's tough. The source attributes this kind of growth to the Spirit at work. How does it describe that? Is it like a background influence or more active?
It definitely suggests an active partnership, like having a divine helper or guide actively involved in the process. It's not just you trying harder. It's the Spirit enabling that change, helping you actually live out that new identity and reflect God's character. It's empowerment.
I appreciate that the source doesn't sugarcoat things, though.
Mm.
It's not all smooth sailing after making this choice. It's quite upfront about the fact that, well, obedience isn't always easy. It acknowledges the struggle.
And that feels real, doesn't it? Because it is often hard. The material even points to Jesus' own experience. It references Hebrews 5.8. Though he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. That's pretty powerful. It shows that struggle and difficulty can actually be part of the learning process, part of growth. Not necessarily a sign you're doing it wrong. It suggests even Jesus learned through facing hardship.
Which makes sense, given our own tendency, as the source notes, to do things our own way. That pull towards self-reliance is strong. But then, the source highlights the payoff for choosing God's way, even when it's difficult.
Right. It says this path brings fruit, strength, and joy we could never create on our own. So it's not just about restriction. It's about gaining something deeper, something more substantial than we could manage by ourselves, a kind of surrender that leads to abundance.
That idea of fruit, it's not just success, is it? It's more like inner qualities.
Exactly. Things like patience, resilience, that deep joy. Qualities often develop through the challenges, through choosing obedience when it's tough. Which brings us to another personal reflection question from the text. Where are you struggling to obey right now? And it gets specific. Is it in a relationship, a habit, a decision? It asks us to pinpoint those areas.
And the advice.
Simple but profound. Let God into that space. Don't just try harder on your own. Invite him into the struggle. Let that divine partnership work even there.
Okay, so as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, the material leaves us with some really practical questions to carry into the week. Not just things to think about, but invitations to act. First, where do I need to choose God again?
Yeah, and it adds that clarifying nudge. Is there a part of your life you've kept off limits? Maybe a room you haven't quite opened up?
Good question. Second, what area needs deeper obedience?
And the follow-up is pretty direct. What's God been nudging you to do that you keep putting off? It pushes us to confront procrastination in our spiritual journey.
Mm. And the third one really broadens the perspective. Who could be impacted by my obedience this week?
Right, emphasizing the source's point that your choices ripple out.
Yeah.
It asks, who's watching your faith in action? Our personal choices affect others.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this final, very direct challenge.
Write down one thing God's asking you to do and do it. Simple as that.
Wow.
Don't overthink it. Just obey. It's about taking that next step, however small it seems.
That's a strong call to finish on. And the source offers this beautiful summary thought, too. You are chosen. You are seen. You are loved. And when you choose God, you don't lose yourself. You find your real self, the one you were created to be. That's quite something.
It really is. And the text echoes that, urging us to choose him again today. It's not static. In the small things, in the quiet things, in the hard things, it frames it as this ongoing daily choice to be a people who choose God on purpose and with joy. It's a continual rediscovery.
Well, that feels like a good place to pause our exploration for today. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive brought to you by the PWC Podcast as we explored what happens when we choose God.
Yay.
If anything we talked about sparks something for you, please share this deep dive with someone else who might find it helpful. And definitely subscribe so you don't miss our future explorations. You can always find more about us and Pittsford Wesleyan Church at pittsfordwesleyan.com.
And maybe just one final thought to leave you with, building on that idea of finding your real self. How might that concept, finding who you truly are through intentional choice and commitment, apply in other areas of life too? Beyond the spiritual context we discussed, think about major career choices or relationships or big life commitments. Does committing, choosing intentionally, also help reveal who we are in those areas? It's something interesting to consider.
That's a great question to ponder. Thank you again for listening to the PwC podcast. We'd love to see you this Sunday at 11 a.m.